are going to talk about the latest developments in the story involving the North Dakota oil pipeline, including the arrest of more than 140 protesters during a clash last week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we will wonder what you think about this protest and about the arrests and about the politics surrounding it. Do you think that the federal government should step in? Should the Obama administration step in and block the construction of this oil pipeline until an environmental access statement can be done, or even a cultural study can be done? Hundreds of people from Indian nations around the country and non-Native supporters, including former Vice President Al Gore and Reverend Jesse Jackson, have joined the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's attempt to block construction of the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. We are going to be talking with one of our Week in Review regulars, Paul DeMaine, who is also with News from Indian Country, about what's happening here and what the future might hold. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Paul DeMaine is the managing editor and CEO of Indian Country Communications, News from Indian Country, and a producer for Indian Country TV, which is based on the Lacouture Ojibwe Reservation in northern Wisconsin. He is a member of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin, which is of Ojibwe descent, with relations on many Ojibwe reservations here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. He's also former Indian Affairs Policy Advisor under Governor Anthony Earl, and he is one of our regular Week in Review guests. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you.
Well, first of all, before we talk about the very latest clash and all that, explain to us what the issue is here. Why is there a protest over the Dakota Access Pipeline?
Well, there's some simple reasoning behind it, and there's some historic reasoning behind it. Initially now, I think, in Indian country, throughout the Great Lakes and everything, people are aware of this massive oil grid that goes through several states, and I think people are beginning to question the wisdom of the endorsement of an old extractive industry, something that's getting to the last of everything. And so people are questioning about whether or not we ought to be building up what is considered to be an old infrastructure industry. In addition to that, there's been so many breaks and breaches and eruptions over the last few years that environmentalists and indigenous people are certainly concerned about the impact to the water quality that's occurring, not only in the flow of oil, but in the fracking of it in Montana and North Dakota, and the tar sands coming out of Cree resource territories in Canada that is doing a lot of environmental damage. On the backdrop of that is certainly a history which is part of the reasons you saw this outburst out in North Dakota, and that is that the area that this pipeline is supposed to cross through is historically reserved to the Great Sioux Nation in 1851 treaty, and then again in the Treaty of Fort Laramie of 1868. There were just simply reductions in the land base, arbitrary ones. There was several million acres given to a railroad company in 1880, and then in 1910 that whole corner was just simply sold off to white people as excess land. So there's a historic orneriness over the treaty era, and what was left of that area there was turned into the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Now, that's in the 1800s, but it leaves a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of indigenous people about how they were left in a small corner of their former homelands. You speed up into the 1960s, and you have a U.S. Army Corps of Engineer project that establishes the chain of Lake Waihi Lake there, 231 miles long, running from Pierre, South Dakota north, all the way up into the Bismarck area there, of which 200,000 acres was taken away from both the Cheyenne River and the Standing Rock Sioux in order to build five dams, in order to resolve the problem of mainly non-Indian people residing in floodplains on the Missouri and Mississippi river basin. And you took some of the richest land and the hardest working farmers and flooded their territory in the 1960s. There are people who are still alive today who watched their farm homestead, along with the graves of their ancestors and relatives, flooded on behalf of downstream water users for either electricity or to resolve the floodplain situation. So you have a lot of post-traumatic stress anger that's gone into this. And here's one final thing. The original pipeline was supposed to go north of Bismarck. But if you look at the documentation on it, it says, for many reasons, including its proximity to wellhead source water protection areas, for municipal water supplies, the route was rerouted from north of Bismarck south down to the current place where you have this situation occurring.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what happened at the end of last week. More than 140 protesters were arrested as law enforcement moved in to evict demonstrators from a camp that had been moved into the path of the Dakota Access Pipeline. What did you make of this this clash and how this was handled, Paul?
Well, it was bound to happen sooner or later. To me, there's been an escalation in part because Morton County has brought in 300 to 400 law enforcement officers from all over the United States. They've spent over $7 million on law enforcement, and there continues to be an escalation of law enforcement officers, and in some cases, little mini law enforcement riots in which they're pressing protesters to try to respond back. We've saw several weeks of posturing by the Morton County Sheriff's Department to make water protectors look like dangerous individuals. We saw provocations go on, and so and work on the pipeline continues. Now, this particular area is private land. It crosses Highway 1806 and then onto Army Corps of Engineer land before it goes under the Missouri River. So the standoff is on this little section of land of the completed pipeline. Dakota Access is certainly anxious to get this pipeline finished. They've promised their investors of this $2.5 to $3.8 billion project that they would have oil flowing in 2017, and they've got deadlines for investors and for other things. And so they're very anxious. They've put a lot of pressure on North Dakota, which is very much attuned into the politics of oil, getting the job done and getting their royalty payments. And so this is, I think, actually the beginning, I believe, of an escalation of what is going to be direct action and other supportive activities across Indian country against that Dakota Access and the energy transfer partners.
Authorities claim that the protesters who were on private property and they were trying to remove them during this confrontation started setting fires, tossing Molotov cocktails, I guess,
you know. I didn't see any evidence of any Molotov cocktails being tossed. There were fires that were set, but I can tell you that I've watched side-by-side videos of Morton County Sheriff's Department officers lying about what's happening on the front line, and this is where social media has brought something to the task. In fact, it's almost difficult to watch how much information is coming out of there. I watched an incident in which the sheriff said the water protectors breached the line, were coming at law enforcement officers, that an individual grabbed the canister of an officer that was holding mace and began fighting with it. When you look at the actual video and actually watch the confrontation live as it occurred, you have a police officer with a canister of tear gas who shouts out, "Everyone's under arrest," runs up to the front line, and these people were backing up at the time, and pushes them turns around, and then sprays the individual. So these visuals are sometimes very contrasting. I'm not saying that there hasn't been things going on, but last week there was also a member of DAPL security that was arrested during that event in the crowd of water protectors with an AR-15. He drove in, he got spotted, he got chased out, he drove his car down an embankment. He was arrested by BIA officials and taken into custody, and they say he will be charged, but he was a member of DAPL security. So we know there are instigators and provocateurs that have been sent into the ranks of the water protectors in order to instigate incidents like this.
Yeah, and protesters have criticized law enforcement for riot gears and tactics, and they want the state government to monitor the police activity. What action, if any, would you like to see from both sides involving interactions with each other?
Well, I think there needs to be dialogue. Number one, this thing is becoming the epitome of the battle between the old industry and environmentalists and other people. There are people that says this pipeline will not go in. It certainly shouldn't have been on the route that was selected. They had an alternative route. They could have taken that, and they would have avoided a lot of the issues in regards to crossing this on old traditional Great Sioux Nation land. I'm hoping that people, Joy, there's been a lot of people who have spent a lot of time trying to de-escalate the potential violence and anger that's going on around this. I'm astounded that you can get 4,000 indigenous people together and haven't had any more incidents occur, considering what people are watching in terms of friends and relatives being beaten up and maced and confronted. I'm hoping that there has to be a dialogue between individuals to understand the deep-seated, long-term anger that goes into projects that are detrimental to indigenous people that are shoved down onto reservations and around reservations in terms of dumps. And I mean, this whole idea that in order to protect the water resources for the good white people of Bismarck, the pipeline is sent south. That's environmental racism. And at the heart of this thing is the discussion of whether or not foreign-owned companies and individuals who are very, very rich are going to force another project down the throats of the poor indigenous people, because that's the way things operate.
We're going to take a short break. It's break time, and then we'll talk more with Paul DeMaine, who is managing editor and CEO of Indian Country Communications, talking with him about what's happening with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's attempt to block construction of the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The pipeline company is refusing to halt its construction while a new review takes place. In absence of the pipeline company's compliance, further administration action is needed. That is why I am calling on President Obama today to ensure that this pipeline gets a full environmental and cultural impact analysis.
That, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders calling on President Obama to block the pipeline that we are talking about today. And we wonder if you think that should happen or not, and why or why not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Talking with Paul DeMaine, who is the managing editor and CEO of Indian Country Communications. What do you make, Paul, of Bernie Sanders? That was earlier this month. Bernie Sanders calling on the president to halt this.
He has a good point. Don't you think there ought to be an environmental impact statement on a pipeline that runs through three or four different states and 1,200 miles long? Dakota Access gamed the regulatory system. Rather than having one long pipeline, they broke it up into little chunks, which means that they didn't require an environmental impact statement. And yet I think Bernie is correct in calling for the president to halt construction on this pipeline until there's a full environmental and cultural impact statement taken. There is poor consultation. You don't call the tribes to the consultation and act like they're a little club. They're a sovereign entity with treaty rights on and off their reservation lands, historic interest in cultural shrines, burial grounds, archaeological remains where, you know, indigenous people are tired of being treated it's easy to just stamp out our history. You know, people are taken out and accused of being vicious for destroying sandstone Buddhas and for ISIS for destroying culturally significant artifacts. This is the same thing that's going on out in North Dakota, where there are significant sites that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and the Mandan and other tribes have pointed out that are being violated by the construction. And so meaningful consultation with tribal governments is essential for these big projects.
Besides asking for, having a full environmental and cultural review, Senator Sanders also, over the weekend, wrote another letter to President Obama calling on monitoring of the police presence there. Do you think that's necessary?
I think some of the 300 tribes that have passed resolutions in support of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and the world that's looking in, and this is a world thing. There was a brief stoppage of traffic across one of the international bridges that was blockaded by Mohawks recently. You're going to see other actions like that in the near future. That they need to monitor law enforcement officials. They are tired. They are anxious. They are used to having control of a situation. And in situations where they don't, you have officers who are applying situations. Now, a lot of these 140 people who were arrested this weekend, interesting enough, were stuffed into dog kennels, and numbers were written on their arms so they could keep track of them out in North Dakota. That's a fine way to treat indigenous people, and you can almost see people on Facebook jumping into their vehicle and heading out to North Dakota. North Dakota officials have done just about everything that they needed to attract this kind of attention, including the ticketing of Amy Goodman and the arrest of numerous journalists simply doing their jobs in violation of constitutional rights. Officers have also engaged in tactics, I think, that are questionable in regards to the civil rights, in regards to search and seizures and other activities. So I think, yes, due diligence and observation about how law enforcement. I want to say something on the other side of that. I think that a lot of law enforcement officers have been commendable in the way that they've initiated a certain amount of patience with 2,000 to 4,000 people in a camp and inactive in these demonstrations to protect the water. I'm surprised that only 300 have been taken into custody, actually, or arrested during this time period. DAPL bringing in security dogs and letting them loose on the tribes, on the water protectors reminds me of the Deep South during the Civil Rights Movement, where law enforcement officers used dogs. In this case, it was private security. That security agency has been found not to have been properly licensed, so we know that DAPL is responsible for some of this heightened activity as well.
You referred to them as those arrested as water protectors, not protesters?
Absolutely. They're out there to protect the water because there's a paradigm shift, I think, throughout the world having to do with global warming and everything. Even Pope Francis is in this. Asking the question is what is our relationship with the Earth? And do we have to accommodate the taking of the last simple drop of oil, no matter how expensive it is to taxpayers and the environment, to be welcome into this new paradigm shift that's taken place that says, should we be accommodating the old oil industry rather than working to get into renewables, of which some other countries are very close to achieving 100% utilization of renewable energy. This poor little country over here called the United States just simply can't get there. It's still endorsing something that even the Rockefeller family says they will no longer invest in, and that's the fossil fuel energy.
So, and for those not familiar, what water are tribal members and their supporters protecting? What are they
most concerned? It's the Missouri River watershed, which mm-hmm. flows into the Mississippi, which flows into the Gulf of Mexico. It is that entire watershed area up there, the crossing at the Missouri, north of Standing Rock. It crosses again further south. It crosses the Mississippi at Iowa going into Illinois. But I think people are talking about this. It's not a question of whether or not there will be an eruption of oil. It's a question of when. When we look at some of these aging pipeline systems, of which need to be dealt with, Enbridge wants to close down Line 3 in Minnesota because it has 900 anomalies. It's not a question of if and when. It's a question of just how soon it'll happen.
For a little more context, the pipeline is being built by Texas-based Energy Transfer Partners. It's designed to transport as many as 570,000 barrels of crude oil daily from North Dakota to Illinois. The pipeline starts in northwestern North Dakota and runs through North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and ends in Illinois. We have callers who want to join in. Betsy in Madison is with us. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, good morning. Happy Halloween to
everyone.
Happy
Halloween.
My prayers go out to the indigenous people of our great nation, and I really think that Bernie Sanders is wonderful to say what he has said, and they are protecting our water. And water is the new gold. And not to mention, I'm kind of losing my, I'm getting nervous.
Oh, it's all right. You wanted to know about moving this pipeline elsewhere, Betsy?
Well, it would appear that we have the pipeline running through Wisconsin, and no one knew about that either. And
we have pipelines, but that's not this pipeline, is it, Paul?
No, you have, but it's part of the grid. You'd have to look at the entire grid. We actually have five current pipelines. You got four coming from Superior down into Illinois. And you have another line 5 crossing from Superior, going across through the Mackinac Straits and down toward Kalamazoo, where the big oil eruption was a couple years ago. You also have a proposal by Enbridge to add another line 66, which is a twin line of 61, which would be as big as the Keystone XL. In order to do that, Enbridge is going to have to expand on their right-of-way, and so they've been working on that for a couple of years. So there's actually 6 pipelines that I know of that are owned just by the Enbridge system in Wisconsin, and they erupt and leak oil on a regular basis.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you have a question about this North Dakota pipeline and protest and what needs to happen now, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Paul, right now, the construction of this pipeline is still going on, even though there are these protests?
Oh, yeah, it was going on during during all the action by the police, where people were fighting. Buffalo were running down from the hills, 400 law enforcement officers in ATVs, and all kinds of militarized equipment, batons, AR-15s. I mean, this is a very highly militarized group against people who are carrying feathers and prayers and sage and praying on a regular basis. But yes.
Yeah, we pulled audio of that Buffalo sighting, and I just want to play that because one of the protesters or water protectors was being interviewed, and this is what happened as he was speaking.
What does this land mean to you? This traditional land.
This land means everything. Look at over there, all the buffalo. Look at all those buffalo. Look at all those buffalo there. For you guys. Be careful.
Give us a sense of the significance of the sighting of the buffalo, you know, running over the plains and over the mountain there while this is going on.
Well, Tatanka, the buffalo, something that is looking on as a very strengthful thing. The Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people depended on the buffalo survival for their winter robes and everything, and are very revered. Almost like having a huge flock of eagles fly in, or years ago when people were going up to establish a Harvest Education Learning Project camp up in the Pinokies, seeing just bare tracks in the snow crossing the road and noticing that a bear had already been out in the spring before the people who were going there to set up that camp got there. Spiritually, there's a lot of prayer, a lot of use of the pipes, a lot of sweat lodges. There's a lot of meditation that's gone into this. And so I think in the long run, that is what's going to prevail. And I think the buffalo were the exemplification of that spiritual relationship with the plants and the animals and the vibrant water. This question about protecting the water, there's less and less and less clean water in the world, and it is what we need to survive. And so I think the line has been drawn in the sand, and this pipeline is the epitome of that line in the sand, where people are saying, no more. We're going to protect the water from now on. Those buffalo, I think, are on our side.
Let's take a call from Barb in Caledonia, Minnesota. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am really passionate about this. It's about so much more than the oil. The oil, this dirty, rotten oil, should be kept in the ground. Our addiction to oil has got to stop. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy. And the buffalo symbolized the white buffalo woman. And this is as big a prophecy as Jesus Christ. And I know that's hard to believe. It is. We're making a stand. And everyone who's listening, if they do not pick up their phone and call the White House and demand they stop this militarization against peaceful protesters who are doing nothing but protecting our children's future, then this is shameful. This country should be ashamed of itself. The world is watching us, and these are peaceful protectors that we are. Somebody's going to get killed, and it's going to be a disaster. And you're not going to stop this prophecy. This is happening. There is no stopping it. It's like trying to kill every male child. You're not going to stop it.
You're not going to stop what, Barb?
The prophecy being fulfilled. We're changing. We cannot destruct where we live. We live on this earth. That oil is doing nothing but ruining where we live. We don't have another hot planet to go to.
Yeah. Well, I'll say there's certainly a passion in her voice, Paul DeMaine. She wants everyone to call the White House. Is that what you think people should do?
Well, people are calling the White House. People are calling the governor's office. People are calling their congressman and saying there needs to be a halt. Bernie Sanders had called on Obama to halt construction. Army Corps of Engineers and several other agencies have halted construction on a small piece of the pipeline that's under federal jurisdiction, but this work that was continued on was on private property. The work that was continuing was on the property in which the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe said there were significant burial and archaeological sites as well. And so Dakota Access, has continued to do this right in the face of the water protectors there. But I think she's talking about this paradigm shift that goes right back down to even Pope Francis. And the question is what is our relationship with the earth? Social media has brought this particular battle right into our living rooms. It's very disturbing to see people being beat and maced as they're trying to raise attention to this. We just see. I just see that. And I think really we're at that turning point where, I see lots of people going to North Dakota. I see people very active throughout the community. People who, like this lady here, are passionate about what the future might be and are just not going to stand for standing by and watching this happen.
Barb, thank you for the call. Jordan in Minocqua is next. Hi, Jordan.
Hi.
Yes, what is your thought?
So I just had kind of a question for your guest here. And I have been active in the pipeline protesting and just kind of getting the word out about how it would negatively affect all of the people and the wildlife and ecosystems in the area. And particularly the Enbridge pipeline in Wisconsin. I was a part of the Enbridge protest. And so now that I am graduated and am trying to get a respectful job as an individual in society, I'm just wondering what would you tell a person like me who really cares about our environment and the livelihoods of the people that are in them? Who can't specifically be there to protest?
Yeah, if you can't be there, what can you do?
Well, I always say do what you do best. I mean, if you take pictures, if you do social media, if you write letters to the editor, if you do artwork, if you sing, people are composing music, people are writing poetry, people are creating phone banks, people are raising funds for the legal defense, which is really the next phase that the News from Indian Country we're looking at is we're going to be sending a team of people out there to make sure that those people who have been arrested can now seek proper justice in the political system. I think there's a lot of things to do. There's people who are boycotting Marathon and Speedway gas stations in Wisconsin and trying to get their community to stay away from them. Mille Lacs tribe recently severed their relationship with Marathon Oil Company simply because of issues over the pipelines. Pray. I think there's a place for prayer in all this, because people have been praying very hard. I'd hate to see a violent act. The question is I remember seeing law enforcement officers walking up to these protesters, these occupiers of federal land in Oregon recently, this Bundy group, and shaking hands. The atmosphere between the white supremacist with, machine guns and the relationship with what's happened here with law enforcement, again, seems to be a situation of, it's Indian, so you've got to have 400 law enforcement and Humvees from all over the country, military hardware. But out in Oregon, the sheriffs, you just go up and chat with these guys and you leave them alone. I mean, the difference in treatment is astounding, and the fact that this whole Bundy group can get acquitted while people are being arrested for peaceful rioting or rioting peaceful, writing stories about the pipeline. What did Amy Goodman do? Record a bunch of dogs biting American Indians. She was arrested with trespassing. When the judge and prosecutor figured that wasn't going to hold because she was a journalist, they tried to charge her with riot. When if there was anything, it was the security officers who were creating the riot by letting their dogs into the crowds.
On Friday, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton issued a statement regarding the Dakota Access Pipeline, calling for a, quote, path forward that serves the broadest public interest, unquote, but didn't offer a firm stance on what was going on. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, who owns stock in the company that wants to build the pipeline, has called for removal of regulations on the oil and gas industry, but has not commented specifically on the pipeline. What do you want to see from the presidential candidates on this issue?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to see anything out of it. I'd like to see a statement in support of the water. I'd like to see a statement in relationship to government, relations, which are adhered to under the treaties that were made between the U.S. government and the Great Sioux Nation. I'd like to see someone stand up for the little people of the Standing Rock Reservation, but I suspect that we're not going to see that from either one of the candidates, who seem much more willing to embrace the capitalistic, greedy, hurt the environment kind of approach, or they've got to be very, very careful because they're concerned about the politics of it. So I'm not sure we're going to see anything else out of either one of these candidates. Perhaps after the election, they may have something more to say about it. But right now, I think they consider it too politically risky and aren't going to do it. And Bernie speaking up is a voice who's not afraid to address some of these issues.
Paul DeMaine is our guest. He is the managing editor, CEO of Indian Country Communications, news from Indian Country, and a producer for Indian Country TV. He is talking with us about the protest over the construction of the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. There was a clash late last week where more than 140 protesters or water protectors were arrested. What do you think about what's happening in North Dakota? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are also looking at the battle over the Dakota Access Pipeline and what's taking place in North Dakota. Hundreds of people from Indian nations around the country and non-Native supporters have joined the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's attempt to block construction of this oil pipeline. More than 140 protesters were arrested during a clash last week. We're talking about what's happening, why it's happening, and what should be done about it, and welcoming your questions for our guests, Paul DeMaine. And our next caller is Jeanette in Warren, Illinois. Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning. I have an article that folks may not have heard about. I was forwarded it on Facebook. And it's an excerpt from an article about a woman in Calhoun County that was arrested on her land, on her family's farm. And she said Dakota Access gained rights on her property against her and her family's will. They used condemnation court and eminent domain to get easements, rights to the property. And this was around middle of October that she and a friend were arrested after they attempted to block trucks carrying pipeline across her farm.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that folks, you know, if they don't at least care about the Native Americans, hello, guess what? If they can get it away, it's basically an injustice anywhere. It's an injustice everywhere. And the people going, oh, we're Indians, and we care. But a lot of the folks are going, oh, well, they're not getting some of the news out in the media. A family that weren't hearing, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, you know, there was dogs turned on people. Really? Okay. So a lot of the word isn't getting out. And
right.
Thank you, sir, for helping get the word out. But how can we get more good coverage? And just to let folks know that if they, as I said, if they get away with it one place, they're going to continue doing it.
So this isn't just a pipeline company trying to take advantage of Native Americans. It's happening through eminent domain to many others.
It's a foreign-owned company that has been able to achieve the rights of eminent domain in several states. And she's talking about the Iowa connection, where there's several farmers that have gone to jail, and a woman on her own property was arrested by Enbridge recently, and including it happened in Wisconsin. It happened in the middle of the night in the 999 in the governor's budget bill, where Enbridge, a foreign-owned company, was provided by the Walker administration with the rights to use the Public Service Commission to condemn private land, probably in order to expand it for the Twin Line 66 that is on the proposal table through Wisconsin. So the issue of the use of eminent domain for private corporations and these huge ones, I think, is an issue, and she referred to that. But I wanted to return, too, about the political question about Trump and Clinton. And part of it, I think, is as long as we've got candidates that are focused on the quality of life by the use of consumption and gross domestic product rather than quality of life not based on consumption but based on the quality of life and clean water and clean air and other simple things, that they'll be silent until after the election. And, of course, a lot of the media is tied up in the election. If someone died out there, the media would go there. But I think after the election is over on November 8th, you'll see the media pay a lot more attention to what's going on out there just because of manpower issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that next, as to whether how you would rate the news coverage of this issue. You think it's mainly because the election is taking all the oxygen out of the room?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a good portion of it. I mean, the news crews aren't what they used to be, and so they're tied up there, and the attention is on following the main candidates around. So the thing is with the onset of social media, when the young actor was arrested out there, I forgot her name, excuse me, but she had like 40,000 people. I was watching the live feed. An officer came up to her there and took her into custody and says, "Are you warning me that I'm being arrested for trespassing?" And he says, "No, we're taking you into custody." There was 40,000 people throughout the world watching her during that live feed. And so we're able to see this in real time, and that's made the huge difference. If you know, don't wait around for CNN and CBS. They're not coming. We are the news. Reported as best you can. The quality of it is questionable, but I've watched some of these actions, and that's why I know when the sheriff is not providing a good narrative about the truth of what happened, because I've watched some of these actions from the beginning to end with the live feeds. And when one of them goes down, you shift over to someone else's live feed. It's an interesting paradigm for news.
Brianne Schossel looked up, or told me anyway, the name of the actress Shailene Woodley, and I wouldn't have remembered that.
Thank you.
Piper in Sand Creek is with us. Hi, Piper.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Here we go again, another week in the radio. I worked pipelines a long time, all the time, Enbridge, Precision, all the big companies and stuff, and anytime that we were up at Thief River Falls. We found arrowheads, and they shut down the line, and they bring in people to clear out the way for the artifacts. Been down in Florida where mud turtles were buried. The environmentalists work right along the side of the pipeline all the time. I mean, they do not let anybody do anything that would destroy anything. And once that line's in and out of there, you were never even going to know it's there.
Well, I'm glad you called, Piper, because Piper says, as somebody who's worked on pipelines for decades now, if there's even the hint that there's some sort of archaeological destruction or artifacts going to be disturbed or anything sacred being touched, that construction would be halted. I think there's a dispute over whether this is all that cultural, Paul Domain.
Yeah, well, number one, I'm glad that he has those values and ethics, and the work crew that he was with had those values and ethics, and they held them up. Unfortunately, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe had submitted documents to the federal government a few days before the Dakota Access Company jumped 30 or 40 miles ahead on Labor Day weekend on a Saturday to plow over this area that Standing Rock Sioux archaeologists and historians said was significant. So I'm glad that this individual and in this particular situation had those ethics, but I don't think that whatever is going on with Dakota Access out in North Dakota is reflective of that. I think there's dispute. There has been some state archaeologists out there who said there was nothing there, but there has not been a situation in which indigenous archaeologists and state archaeologists work hand in hand to look at something, because there are times when non-Indians simply don't see what's going on that tribal people can. You may not find a pelvis, but there may be crushed human bone remains, or there may be ceremonial worshiping sites or other things that are there that indigenous people can discern.
Yeah. What about his claim that once the pipeline is down there, no one's going to even know it's there?
It's not there until it erupts in a big, huge leak like it did in the Kalamazoo River or down in Russ County here south of the Story County border, where there are acres of swamplands and wetlands and watersheds ruined by in a eruption by an Enbridge pipeline. Enbridge says there's 800 anomalies in its pipeline, three in northern Minnesota. I wonder how many anomalies are in the four pipelines through Wisconsin. It's not a matter of if they're going to leak, it's a matter of when and how we're going to see it.
Camille in New Berlin is with us. Hi, Camille.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think protesting is great, whether it's Black Lives Matter or the our Native American protest, but voting is far more important. League of Conservation Voters, Sierra Club, they rate the politicians. In our own state, some communities have had to have bottled water brought in because their groundwater is contaminated. CAFOs are dumping tons of fertilizer and junk into the Lake Michigan, and public land is up for sale now to the richest people in the state. And unless we get people voting on every election, not just the president, the protests have no effect on the people because the protests don't give the politicians the money. Thank you for taking my call.
What's your reaction to that, Paul?
Well, I was actually reviewing something online when she was talking to Leonard.
In essence, she was talking about how we've seen this before, and protesters don't give politicians money, so they're not going to help.
No. I think people got to vote. I think people got to, protesters do give money to politicians. It just happens to be small amounts rather than millions and billions from the Koch brothers in the oil industry. I think we can get attention from the grassroots up. I think this is taking hold. Every time I go to a meeting about pipelines in Wisconsin, there's more and more people and are becoming aware. But the bigger picture really is the paradigm shift about what is our relationship with Earth and the protection of water and how we're going to prevent the destruction of the Earth from global warming issues and leave it seven generations from now better than what it is. So it's not about consumption. It's about preservation. It's about protection. So, people aren't out there protesting. They're out there to stand in front of the black snake that was a prophecy that said it would come through, and it was the indigenous people's responsibility to stop it. They intend to put the black snake down and get into a great big discussion about what the future of the world might look at for our grandchildren seven generations from now.
Yeah, and you say you're sending a crew out there right now? Or
We've had people reporting off and on. I have not been out there. We're sending actually a crew out there in early December to monitor the issue of civil rights cases, and follow the trials of these individuals. North Dakota is not actually known as the most progressive place for an indigenous person, let alone someone trying to stop an oil line to get justice.
Thank you very much, Paul, for being with us. Paul DeMaine, Managing Editor and CEO of Indian Country Communications, news from Indian Country and a producer for Indian Country TV. He is also one of our regular Week in Review guests, and we thank him for his time. Thank you to Kai Brito, Brianne Chasso, Bill Martins, and Aisha Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. And I also hope that if you are in Green Bay or anywhere in the Green Bay area, that you join us on Friday. We are going to be broadcasting on location from 6 until 9, the Drake Cardine Show on location in Green Bay at The Attic. It's a bookstore and a coffee cafe, so you can stop by and have a cup of coffee, and we'll talk politics and the Week in Review during this hour from Green Bay. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.